I think it's Maroon 5 featuring Christina Aguilera. Difficult to find out where Christina was actually in that mix, really. I mean, maybe she was just hiding and just came out with a few ahs every so often, but it seemed very much more Maroon 5 as opposed to just Christina Aguilera. Anyway, minor point. I always feel after surrogating we need to have a lie down. Best thing after a lie down is obviously to keep the calmness going. Go to our ace Scottish author, Peter Kerr, and Thrushes in Milk. Worries me. Worries, you know, we talked about this yesterday, but hopefully Peter has been able to listen to us because his modem has been fixed. Isn't that right, Peter Kerr?
Yeah, I've been, well, I managed to catch 2 or 3 minutes, I think, of the programme so far, Alex, with the new modem, which has been acting up a bit. But, boy, that's Sarah. She can really project, can't she?
Oh, yeah. She can project with the...
Yep.
And listen, I mean, yeah, I had to sort of allow Natalie to bed in to the show before we could expose her to surrogating. Otherwise, who knows what kind of... I mean, the therapy costs alone would be too much, really, so...
Yeah.
Good stuff. Anyway, she's currently working on her oaty biscuits and doing various other things. I mean, of course, as a small holder and based up in Scotland and such, when you work through this, I mean, do you think actually what she's doing is to be celebrated, this whole notion of promoting the best of British food, British agriculture, enabling small holders and small farmers, people who aren't connected with the multinational supermarkets, to effectively, you know, advertise and promote their wares and actually say, you know, let's celebrate the positive nature of British agriculture?
Oh, I think it's a fantastic idea. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when, in fact, I was one of them, one of the really small farmers who contributed, I hope anyway, an awful lot to the countryside in the way of life, really, and also good, honest to soil food, which wasn't actually graded so carefully and clinically by the supermarkets. And unfortunately, I think that the countryside is the worst for not having all these small farms now. And those that are left, yeah, without a doubt, Sarah's campaign to have those brought to the notice of the general public and the food sold and valued, I think it's a fantastic idea.
Coming up in the second part of the programme, we'll be speaking to a memoir book author. It's Caroline Braggart Brannigan, who launches the whole thing with lots of people have great life stories to tell and would love to write their memoirs or family history and create a book for relatives and friends to read. But it's a daunting task, and Caroline is actually an official memoir writer, which I think is quite interesting. I don't know, Peter, have you ever sort of considered thinking, you know, let's make some real stories up?
That's a new idea, isn't it? I think just about every day now there's great new ideas coming up in the book world, particularly now that I think we've mentioned before that it's so easy to have books published as e-books, as electronic books, and this idea of again, it's part of tradition, isn't it? If families would like to dig up the information that may be forgotten if they don't. And if somebody can help them put that into book form, I think it's a great thing. It's part of our heritage and worth doing.
Good stuff. Well, so we'll find out more about what Caroline's doing in the second part of the production. Of course, I don't think the sort of notion of getting books translated into Polish, as indeed is happening with your own sort of selection, that's another line entirely, which is... How are the sales in Poland going, Peter, by the way?
I think they're going fine, Alex.
Good.
The first one was published in Polish last December, I think, and there's now five of the titles out there, so it's nice. I think that's about 11 different languages we've got going now, so it's all very exciting.
Very good, and obviously a big push ahead of the European Championships next year, which clearly Fabio Capello's team will now win as European champions in Olympic year in the Ukraine and Poland. Anyway, that might just be me fantasising, Peter, because I've been eating too many of these boiled rats, fried rats, or various other bits and pieces. Clearly there was concern when we mentioned the thrush yesterday, you know,
yeah.
Joy Knight in the studio said we are referring to the bird, the songbird here. I think so, as opposed to the opposite...
No,
I was thinking of the man from Uncle's Evil Enemies, the nemesis of Napoleon Solo and Ilya Kuryakin, obviously. Thrush from that point of view. Natalie, well, I mean, I didn't even say that there were thrushes in milk yesterday. I mean, that might be sort of a double whammy in all sorts of ways, really. Where do we feel on this one, Natalie? I mean, is this one of the things where you're thinking, oh, I'm going to have to steel myself for this part of the programme?
I don't know. I might have to take my headphones off. I don't know if
can
handle the thought of
thrushes in milk.
Yeah. I've not been able to eat breakfast because of this.
Lord.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't have any mashed potato in it, it should be okay. Now, please. Oh, no.
So I think I'm probably being marked as one of the most disgusting get-getters.
No. Interesting, I think. I think it's an interesting line that we've got on this whole set of etc.
Well, it's a, I'll tell you, Alex, it's an interesting, there's some interesting background facts about Mallorca in this recipe. In Mallorquin, it's called Tords en Yet. That's Tords, T-O-R-D-S, by the way, not the...
Yes, I was worried about that, yeah. But that's okay, we'll keep that working.
Not the next level in the progression. So that's Tords, which is thrushes, N, and Yet, L-L-E-T, thrushes and milk. And the reason that this was, and maybe not so much nowadays, was so popular in Mallorca, is that Mallorca is on the migratory path of northern European thrushes as they make their way south to Africa in the autumn. And I'm afraid that Mallorcans in days past would catch thrushes in by the million as they landed on the island to feed and have a rest en route.
Did the thrushes not object, or did they sort of just say, was it like lemmings? Did they actually sort of say, where are you off to this summer? Mallorca, see you, you know?
Yeah, I think there was a touch of the lemming about it, Alex. Obviously, these poor little birds were needing a rest and needed a feed, and the fact that they landed in Mallorca to feed in the orchards was not to the liking of the local farmers. So, as I say, they would catch millions of these wee birds in nets, and to this day, in the country, villages, you'll find butchers' windows with these little fellas lying there with their Sunday suits, speckled waistcoats on, and feet up, all ready to be gobbled up. But anyway, what I've done in order to save Natalie from throwing her breakfast up is I've substituted...
Yeah, it's not going to work in the studio, you know, please. It's just, you know, I mean, not good at all, really.
Well, you know, and I've got to confess that I've never eaten thrushes myself. I just don't fancy the idea. People say, well, you know, the Mallorcans sometimes substitute quail or pigeon in this particular recipe. And they say, well, you know, essentially, what's the difference between a thrush and a quail or a pigeon, apart from the fact that the thrush has got a nicer singing voice? And I suppose there's something in that. But anyway, to progress, Alex, what I've done here is substitute the thrushes by making the recipe with chicken breast. And I can tell you that this is really, of all the recipes I've eaten anywhere in my life or in the world, this is one of my favourites. So all you need... fairly simple, like all these things. All you need is some olive oil, a medium onion chopped, chicken fillet, some mushrooms, a glass of white wine, or if you'd rather drink the wine, water will do, some mushroom ketchup if you can get your hands on it, Dijon mustard, some dried tarragon, seasoning, and which might include a bit of stock powder, and of course milk. And what you do is you heat the olive oil and soften the onion. And the chicken you would have cut into bite-sized pieces, so you add that and lightly seal it, lightly brown it. Add some garlic if you want. And then you would add, this glass of white wine or water, just enough to cover the chicken. A dash of mushroom ketchup, a teaspoonful of dried tarragon, or fresh tarragon if you've got it, some freshly ground black pepper, a couple of teaspoons of mild mustard, that would maybe be Dijon mustard. I think English stuff could be a bit strong for this recipe. And a couple of teaspoonfuls of stock powder. And you get all that stuff going. And once the liquid, that's the wine or the water, has reduced a bit and thickened up, add, well, I would say about half a cup gradually of milk. And if you're not keen on dairy products, soya milk would do. And warm that gently, add the mushrooms, and when the whole lot has a sort of creamy texture, you would serve it with, well, as the Mallorcans would probably use potatoes of some sort, not mashed potatoes, Natalie, but maybe roast or fried potatoes, and that's it. Well, a handful of peas if you want to get the greens into it, but that's it, that's Tords en Yet. And it's a nice one, and it's very, very easy, and I promise you, it tastes absolutely fantastic.
Well, there we are, you see. It tastes like chicken, quite literally, because it is. Thrushes, do they taste like chicken? There's a whole world there. I suppose they're both feathered in a certain way. It's different lines. So that's another classic, I feel, Peter. You know, you've rescued that extraordinarily well. I mean, we've already had our ferocious potatoes, which indeed is up online, and the connections for it from that point of view. And I'm sure that thrushes and milk will be a different line entirely that'll sort of drive the internet traffic crazy on that basis alone. Really astonishing. Any questions, Natalie?
No.
Shocked. It's been just one of those sort of mornings, really. Following that recipe after sort of our Olympic dream, feed it, farmers on film, etc. Let's actually sort out what the thrush sort of scenario happens to be for that. Have an interesting line for that. Peter, let's move on to your writing, etc. How's that going? Because, I mean, I know we've sort of introduced you regularly as top Scottish author, etc. How's the whole writing scenario going? Where are we? What are we looking to? Because I feel as though we really should start addressing the notion of, I know you've taken over the mantle of our chef's choice host, etc., which is great, and that's fantastic. And I know that our Heston Blumenthal colleague Aaron Craig would be delighted with some of those lines that are there. In fact, I'm always thinking of that the line that a real chef is not so much a kind of mechanic, they're an artist, you know, in terms of creating the thing. They're imagining the dishes and working through those whole process. So what about the actual craft of words that you actually engage in as a matter of course?
That continues, Alex. I've finished, I think I mentioned some time ago that I had spent for the best part of the past 3 years writing a historical novel, which is also, like most of my books, based in Mallorca.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 13th century, at the time when the Christians retook the island from the Moors, who had occupied Mallorca for the best part of 400 years. So this book, it took me 3 years to write. Well, first of all, to research and to write, and it's called Song of the Eight Winds. And my new agent in Poland, Agata, is now busy trying to find a publisher. And while all that goes on, I've dug out a film script that I wrote really just as an exercise to find out myself how film scripts work and how they should be laid out and so on. Nothing too serious, but I wrote this script, I think probably about 10 years ago, and it's called Goblin Hall. And there is actually an old ruined castle near here in East Lothian called Goblin Hall, and which inspired the thought. So I wrote this film script, which is a sort of family fantasy thing. So what I'm doing now, nobody picked up the film script, incidentally. So what I'm doing now is I've taken the script and I'm trying to novelise that, in other words, to turn it into into narrative book form, which is another discipline I'm having to learn. No matter how old you get in this writing game, there's always something new to learn, you know? So that's what I'm busy with at the moment, Alex.
And why was Goblin Hall empty of residents? Because they'd spent all the time gobbling the thrushes. Sorry, I can resist it.
There is, I think, a proper history about this, the Goblin Hall in East Lothian, that involves, I don't not so much about thrushes, but it's folklore.
I'm just thinking, I mean, goblins compared to the Lincolnshire imp. I mean, would you say the Lincolnshire imp is a goblin? I mean, after a fashion?
Yeah, I'm quite sure that imp experts might argue with me, but in my mind's eye, an imp is a goblin.
If we have any imps or goblins actually tuned in to Siren 107.3 FM, please feel free to call us or use email studio@sirenonline.co.uk or indeed 01522 837 337. Who knows? You might find yourself on the show. It's a different line because I do feel we've underrepresented the goblins and imps of the world. I wonder if Sepp Blatter has anything to say about goblins and imps and the possibility of them taking part in regulation football matches. Perhaps if they apologise, it'll all be good in the end.
Well, that's an idea, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, sir.
Small people up here in Scotland.
Oh, I don't like to go sizist on this thing, you know, because. Scotland was well known, as indeed is demonstrated at the Rugby World Cup, for snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, which is great. Always is, yeah. It's a snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. It's very confusing. One of those two things we'll work through. Peter-Kerr.uk, that's K-E-R-R, is the best way to actually access all the manner of marvellous things that Peter actually is putting together from that perspective. And as I say, it's time we reflected and sort of did some more focus on the writing side of things. Peter, any questions you want to put to Natalie about you know, what she's doing today and all the rest of the bits and pieces, you know, that fit into the life of a busy lass from Selby who's doing her undergraduate work in journalism at the University of Lincoln?
Yeah, well, how many years have you done so far, Natalie?
How many years?
Yeah.
2 years, I'm in my third.
You're in your third, so is this the final year then, is it?
Yeah, it is.
So how are the prospects for a job when it's all over? They look quite encouraging?
No, they don't, actually.
Nat, how can you say that, Natalie?
We've already... I've gone and offended Natalie yet again.
Exactly. No, we've got heaps of opportunities.
I'm just looking on a wider scale for other, graduates as a whole in journalism. There's a lot of cuts going on.
You cannot worry about the others. You've got to focus on yourself. How many people are in this room co-presenting at present? There we are, you see. Sorted. Quite easy peasy, as all sorts of the future is always bright. It's not even orange, but you know, it's a positive thing there. It's always bright, and let's focus on that side of things, because let's face it, Peter, those of us who've been around the block a couple of times will realise that these things go in cycles. You know, you just sort of work through that whole process.
There's an old saying that everything happens for a reason.
Exactly.
Sometimes everything doesn't happen for a reason. It's just
you're shaking your head, Natalie.
My mum, she always comes out with that saying, and I always go, "No, Mum, I disagree with you. It doesn't happen for a reason."
Exactly, and then a few months start of saying, "Well, everything happens for a reason."
Yeah.
It's all connected together in its fulsome ways. Just a quick reminder that for those people who are interested to go to the Lincoln Theatre Royal this Friday, the 18th of November, hats off to Led Zeppelin, the finest tribute band to the greatest rock band in the world. You feel apparently like you've travelled back in time when you experience these four top-class musicians on stage recreating Led Zeppelin's magical concerts, featuring Peter Eldridge from the West End production of We Will Rock You, Simon Wicker, Jack Tanner and Kevin Oliver Jones. They play all the right instruments and hit all the right notes in this fantastic live show. That's hats off to Led Zeppelin this Friday, the 18th of November, 7:30, Lincoln Theatre Royal. Ticket £17.50. Inquiries, Lincoln 01522 519999. That's 519999. I suppose when they're actually getting the band hats off to Led Zeppelin together, they said, well, everything must happen for a reason. Oh, sorry. They might or may not. Natalie, it's time to throw those last two questions to our ace Scottish author, Peter Carr, who I still think maybe need to work with our other sort of couple of Scottish authors and actually get Badger the Mystical Mutt into Mallorca. I have that thought. It could happen. I'll sort of work on it, Peter. You know, I know you might not have even met a Lynn McNichol before, but it's a thought. Badger the Mystical Mutt goes to Mallorca.
Well, I did talk to you briefly about that last week, I think, Alex. I mean, when you get mystical mutts and the strange little goblins and imps going on all the time, it's a nice world that we're drifting into.
All happens for a reason. Natalie.
Peter, have you enjoyed your telephonic conversation with us this morning?
I have indeed, Natalie. It's been fantastic as ever.
And can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
You bet. Any time at all, I'm always delighted.
I think he's kind of making the 8:40 a.m. slot his own in so many ways. It's very important. Any sneaky sort of look as to what you might have for us next week, Peter, recipe-wise?
I've got a very, very, very simple one that students in particular would like, because it only involves bread and oil.
Bread and oil. Is that castor oil? Castor oil? Is that sort of, you know, pharmaceutical oil?
Depending on what's been eaten the night before. I'll save that one, Alex.
That's okay. Bread and oil, eh?
Yeah.
Just gets better and better. Coming up, the news from the Sky News Centre for the moment. Peter Kerr, as ever, we salute you. Keep on keeping on. Bye for now.
Thanks, Alex. Thank you.
Siren, 107.3 FM, your community radio station in Lincoln.